the pitch. Swing and a miss. The ball gets away from the catcher, but the throw to first is in time, and the ball game is over. Bush swung at a breaking ball in the dirt. The catcher, Smith, picked it up, threw to first, and the ball game is over. The Dodgers have beaten the Cubs by a score of 10-8.
Good afternoon and welcome in. This is Spiegel and Company. Company today being both Ruthie Polinsky and her lifelong stuffed animal, Big Dog.
I forgot he was here.
Yeah, one of the... Well,
he's quiet.
He's very quiet. One of the textures says, all due respect to Ruthie, I think it's Big Dog that brings that air of stately professionalism.
Love it.
To the show.
He reins us in.
That was the end of the Cubs and Dodgers last night. I know full well that a lot of Cubs fans have stopped watching. I know full well that a lot of Chicago baseball fans who will watch the Cubs when they're good have not bothered to be watching. And I also know it's a late night game out on the West Coast. But I feel it's my duty, and maybe in part because of all that, I feel like it's my duty to help people understand just what happened there last night.
Please.
Because Michael Kopech, the former White Sox pitcher, is now the closer of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
And he has been unbelievable since he's there. Articles have been written about Kopech and what has changed. Oh, he's throwing the fastball a little bit less. He can throw his cutter for strikes. Throws the slider for fewer strikes, but he can throw the cutter for strikes. He gets ahead in the count. And people aren't just sitting dead red on the fastball, because Kopech has always had an unbelievable arm, but has had lots and lots of problems psychologically, mentally, being the kind of pitcher, not thrower, that he's supposed to be.
Right.
So he's been great as a Dodger. Last night in a 10-7 game, he comes in and he was not great. Dude couldn't find the plate to save his life. And he walked the bases loaded. So run game, and the bases are loaded and nobody's out because Michael Kopech is lost. The Dodgers have used all of their mound visits. Will Smith, the catcher, went up there for the sixth and final mound visit while Kopech is melting down. They have another reliever warming, but he wasn't ready. And it's like, oh my God, Kopech is about to finally show the Dodgers why the White Sox gave up on him. That's what I'm thinking as I'm watching this. We're seeing it.
Okay.
Like, there's the meltdown that, frankly, I still think it's going to come at some point
right.
for Kopech. Sadly, I just think it's going to come. But there it was last night. And so the bases are loaded and nobody out in a three-run game. Isak Paredes hits a sacrifice fly. One run comes in. It's first and second. Michael Bush is at the plate. Kopech at this point has thrown nothing but fastballs to the last two hitters. He can't find the plate with anything. He's certainly not going to throw anything but the fastball, and he can't even find the plate. You've got him on the freaking ropes. And there are men at first and second. It's Suzuki and Bellinger. Michael Bush, a lefty, is at the plate. That means there's a wide open lane from catcher to third base. And all of a sudden, there's a double steal. Listen to Boog Sciambi and Ryan Dempster, who were great all series long, on this call last night.
Runners take off. Throw to third. Oh, no. Man.
Get second and third, get that tying run to second base, but if you're going to steal third right there in the ninth inning down two runs,
you got to be safe.
So that's Boog and Demp. Here's the thing. At that moment on Twitter and everywhere, people are like, what is Craig Counsell doing? How can he call for a double steal? He didn't call for a double steal.
You can tell.
You can tell
you
they
can tell
know it.
They know that. Yes.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You can absolutely tell that they know that because they know Counsell well. And they
right.
know, why would you do that?
Right.
And it turns out afterwards, Seiya Suzuki says through his interpreter, Edwin Stanbury, that it was him on his own wanting to do it. And the numbers support it. You can steal on Kopech. I think he'd given up 5 stolen bases, I believe, as a Dodger. Overall on the year, I think it's 32 of 37 on Kopech. You can steal on him. But that means you got to know, get a huge lead. Suzuki didn't have a huge lead.
Right.
And so he did that on his own, and Bellinger follows him because that's Bellinger's job. But this is Seiya Suzuki crapping the bed in a really big moment in September again.
Nothing new.
This is, I'm concerned about some of the baseball instincts of Suzuki. But really what it is, there's some anxiety that goes on. Before we talk about that some more, here's counsel after the game. There was another base running error earlier in the game where Pete Crow Armstrong rounded first and took way too wide a turn on an RBI single of his, ended up getting caught in a rundown, and that killed an inning. So that was a really bad base running mistake by Pete Crow Armstrong. And then there was the one by Suzuki. Counsel admitted it was not him who called the double steal, and here's how he talked about it.
So against this team, you know, I've talked about it. We played two excellent games on the bases and on defense. Tonight we played a really good game, but we made two mistakes on the bases, and you know that contributed to just not being enough. Even you know, we had a great offensive night. You know, the bullpen gave us a shot. You know, the two mistakes on the bases, which are, you know, kind of inexcusable, frankly. You know, just is enough to not get past the team like that. And we can't make those mistakes. You know, because this team, the team on the other side is just too good. And so you give them two outs. And, you know, who knows what happens, you know, if we don't make those outs. But those are outs that we can prevent. And we can't make those outs against a team like that.
Completely let Michael Kopech off the hook. And you've heard managers talk long enough to know how pissed he is right there.
Inexcusable is a huge word from a manager or a head coach, anyone in any sort of power. Inexcusable. Yikes.
Yeah, that's big time. Because what happens after that second out at third base, and now Michael Busch needs to get a hit and extend the inning or homer to tie it instead of just keeping the line moving against a pitcher on the ropes. Kopech gets a call on a borderline fastball to get ahead in the count 1-2, and then he can throw junk. And he does throw a slider in the dirt, and Busch flails at it, and that's the strike three that you heard at the top of the segment. Because Kopech got completely and utterly bailed out by Seiya Suzuki going on his own. And as the manager says, inexcusable. Yeah, that's as harsh as you're going to hear Craig right. Counsell be about his opponent.
Because that's really not Counsell's personality to bury players unless it's deserving, it feels. And
yes.
There you have it.
Yes.
And I'll say, like, last week when I was on the show with you, Speaks,
yeah,
we were mourning the Cubs season, you know, and then they just bring it back, suck you in. And then it's moments like that where you're like, this is... they don't even deserve for us to be sucked back in this moment.
They've made enough mistakes over the course of a year in terms of base running and defense, you know, it leveled up. They've been playing a lot better. The offense has been better. Offense has been
right.
Great, especially on the road.
Right.
And they've played a cleaner and better brand of ball. But you can think back to specific games that this team has lost along the way. It doesn't take much. We're talking about, at this point, five or six different games over the course of now 146 games played, or 148, wherever we are. You're talking about like five or six different games. If those are wins instead of losses, then they're right there with the Mets and the Braves, and we're still very much alive in this conversation. But you lose games on stuff like this last night along the way, and it will absolutely kill you. This one happens to be in September when they're holding on for a shred of dear life. I you know, Texter says, not a good lead, not a good jump. I'm fine with trying to do it, but as soon as you have that bad jump, you just stop. That's it. I'm not fine with trying to do it. I myself am not fine with trying to do it. Dude is on the ropes. It is Kopech, and right. He is in chaos. Let yourself just take advantage of his chaos.
Right.
So I know the double steal gives you two men in scoring position, and then it's just a little single, but I don't even think you need that much help. I think Michael Kopech was well on his way to blowing his first save as a Dodger.
The tone in your voice.
Pissed off, man.
It's sad.
You know what it is? Seiya Suzuki is their best hitter. He's the only hitter in that lineup with an OPS over 800. He hits the ball hard with frequency. He's a really good hitter. But he's not a guy that they can trust with regularity in right field anymore. And they know that. He's DHing a lot. And he's not a guy then who you can trust to make a good decision on his own on the base paths. That's a veteran, man. That is a veteran, highly paid, supposed to be your best player, frankly. And he's and he's shown too much. And he's one of these guys with a no trade clause. I don't know if he would accept a trade. I don't know if you even want to think about trading him. It depends what you do and what you add.
Right.
Because he's such a damn good hitter. But I'm really frustrated with him. And that's a big, big moment last night.
What do you do?
You, man, it's, I don't know, because there's very few spots where you can upgrade offensively.
Right.
Catcher, you can upgrade. You could possibly upgrade at second base, although I love Nico Hoerner, our friend and friend of the show, Nico Hoerner. So I don't want to advocate for that. But I'm sure that they will think about it in terms of what they can do. But I think you're going to run it. I think they're going to run it largely back with Isak Paredes at third and Dansby and Nico and Bush. I mean, it's possible at first base you could upgrade. Michael Bush is still not making a lot. He could be a bench player and a backup at first and second and more. So maybe they make a play for Vladimir Guerrero. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting offseason with lots of trade possibilities and a few, you know, free agent possibilities. But, you know, are you going to continue if, say, a Suzuki's a DH? And I think he's a DH. I don't think he's somebody that you want to play in right field as much as you thought.
Is Seiya Suzuki, bear with me here for a moment.
Yes.
Seiya Suzuki, Valus Jones Jr. the potential of what he can be and what your coaching staff wants you to be.
Oh, man.
But then you come up, you mess up in big moments.
Oh, boy.
Does that hurt? Listen, Valus hasn't done enough, I think, to be as, you know, coveted as Seiya. But listen. Making mistakes in big moments, but you're hanging on for dear life because you want it to get better.
It's the tantalizing nature of talent like that,
right.
What you're talking
right.
about. Yes, different levels of what they've accomplished.
Of course, different
what they've
levels.
Actually accomplished. But yeah, there's a comp there. Man, our sports lives are littered with people like that,
oh,
right?
Gosh.
Our experience at certain athletes who have just tremendous talents like that, but they just... It's just a hard thing to trust.
Right.
Because human anxiety is what happens. Human anxiety is real. You could see it with Seiya in the outfield. Like, he would make mistakes on balls in the outfield. He's just overthinking and thinking too much, dropping easy ones and going to get difficult ones. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. Man. It's a beautiful afternoon here at the Pru.
Gorgeous.
Textures are getting in. Yeah, it's fair, Speaks. Kopech was in trouble. I think it looks different if it's PCA getting thrown out, but Seiya getting thrown out makes it bad. I agree. Texture says, Ruthie, the problem is that Valus has never done anything good.
Well, that's fair. That's totally fair. You're right. What I mean by that is, like, the coaching staff clearly sees something in Valus because they see the athleticism and
absolutely
and the explosiveness, and you're begging for it to be worth your while.
Yeah.
But then in the biggest moments, it's just you fumble the return.
Yep. Texture's getting in. Jed Hoyer built a baseball team with zero room for error. They have to be perfect to be a playoff team. Yeah, it's an interesting build. That's for sure. Here's another one. Ruthie is great. When you know, you know.
Oh.
She's awesome, funny, and smart. Lock her up before Sunday Night Football offers her a spot on their pregame show.
Listen, if Sunday
that,
Night Football
huh?
offers me a job, I'm out. Everyone, just want you all to know.
You could report on that. People could bank on that.
If Sunday Night Football calls, your girl is going to New York.
Tonight we have Thursday Night Football coming back.
Ooh, I'm excited about this game tonight. You know, obviously, my connections to the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's true, because he used to work down there and know some people down there.
Let's go, Bills.
Yeah. What does that say for the people that you know down there?
No. I love the people there. But, you know, there's always a little, you know. I've got my doubts about the Dolphins. That's all I'm going to say.
Really?
Oh, I've got my doll.
So, and is that based on, are you a Mike McDaniel fan or no? Did you cover him or was he?
Cover him.
You did?
I covered the Brian Flores explosion.
Holy bejesus.
And I know a lot of sides to that story.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. And I don't like how things went down there.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think Mike McDaniel's a great coach, and I give him a ton of credit for basically saving Tua's career. He deserves that 100%.
And he went in, by the way, it connects back to our quarterback conversation.
Yep. Shanahan system.
Shanahan system, quarterback friendly, a lot of easier reads based on the coverage as opposed to pure progression, leaning more on that style.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I think I just have my doubts. And I think the way that team is built is really interesting to me, because when you have a rich owner that wants to pay everybody, mm-hmm. You can get the Tyreek Hills of the world and make everyone look better.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
I could do a whole show on the Dolphins.
Yeah, you could. I'm interested now.
But I give Mike McDaniel credit for being a great offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I don't know. I'm out. The jury's out on him as a head coach for me.
Can somebody with that kind of personality be a successful overall leader of men in football?
Well, coach? I think he can be a leader of men. I just don't know how involved he is with the defense. And I don't know how the defensive players connect with him. And this is genuine uncertainty. And obviously, I haven't been there now for a year and a half. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, what happened this offseason left a really bad taste in my mouth. I just don't like the way that Tua phrased what happened there. I don't think anyone won in that situation. Him and Brian Flores. I think I just have a lot of. I just didn't like how that transpired, and the way that story blew up again when it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, Brian Flores being painted as just like
a villain.
A villain and a taskmaster with no empathy or human touch.
Correct, which I know for a fact he is not that man.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Stephen Ross, the Bears owner, or sorry, the Dolphins owner.
Yes.
Is an interesting dude and got Flores in a lot of hot
water. I just want to make sure everyone remembers that Stephen Ross didn't want Tua either. He would try to go get Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
Don't forget that.
Yeah. There's a lot going on. By the way, Texter says, Saya is closer to Devin Hester than he is to Velus. That's interesting, because we were making the Velus Jones and Devin Hester connection in terms of...
Interesting.
And so he brings it to Hester, and he's right in terms of not finding a position.
Sure.
You know? But good conversation. I like when we can cross the streams with the baseball and the football there. Speaking
Oh,
boy. Here we go. Now we're okay.
Man down.
Yeah. Right. Ruthie, very concerned about the falling down of our set. Speaking of crossing the streams between... Yeah, right. You know, it's slippery over there. Speaking of crossing the streams between football and baseball, Jarrad Payton was on stage at a concert at Wrigley Field. We'll talk to Jarrad about that. And, of course, Bears and Texans next on The Score.